come out wherever you are.
Listening right now. Good afternoon, y'all. You were waiting for the Halloween live streaming show. So this is October month. Let's go through some of the best horror movies since 1980s to 2000s, you know. And we are listening to one of the best ones, The Shining with Jack Nicholson. We'll talk about that and have a guest. And you can call also.
And I'll puff. And I'll blow your house in.
The Shining was with Jack Nicholson, of course. I'm going to see here is a 1980 psychological horror film produced and directed by Stanley Kubrick, and it is such a scary movie. It is locked in my brain. And these are the type of movies that children shouldn't watch. Like, for instance, Psycho. But let's listen to The Shining again. That sentence that Jack Nicholson says and is forever known. He is Johnny, so...
Come out, wherever you are.
So, it is co-written with the novelist Diane Johnson. It's based on Stephen King's 1977 novel of the same name. And the stars, as you all know, Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall, Scatman Crothers, and Danny Lloyd. The film's central character is Jack Torrance Nicholson, Jack Nicholson, of course, an inspiring writer and recovering alcoholic who accepts a position as the off-season caretaker of the isolated historic Overlook Hotel in Colorado Rockies with his wife, Wendy Torrance, portrayed by Duvall, and young son, Danny Torrance, portrayed by Lloyd. Danny is gifted with a shining, you know the name of the movie, psychic abilities that enable him to see into the hotel's horrific past after a winter storm leaves the Torrances snowbound. Jack's sanity deteriorates due to the influence of the supernatural forces that inhabit the hotel. Scary sounds, I know. These are scary sounds of The Shining. It's Halloween, almost Halloween. We are getting there.
Here's Johnny.
So we are doing the show today. Yes, it is when I have time to do it, you know? So who knows, Alfred Hitchcock knows that this movie has that particular sound. Right now you're listening to the background sound of my house's X-Files sounds on, so that I can mute all the sounds of the streets. You all know. So, but that sound of the movie, one of the perfect movies from none other, Arthur Hitchcock. You know which movie I'm talking about, of course. The shower scene. You know, the sound. This is the sound of the shower, you all know. So let's listen again with the sound, and I'll say what it's about. Psycho is a 1960 American psychological horror thriller film produced and directed by Alfred Hitchcock. The screenplay written by Joseph Stefano was based in the 1959 novel of the same name by Robert Bloch. The film stars are Anthony Perkins, Janet Leigh, the beautiful Janet Leigh, Vera Miles, John Gavin, and Martin Balsam. The plot centers on an encounter between on the run embezzler Marion Crane, portrayed by Janet Leigh, and shy motel proprietor Norman Bates, of course Perkins, and its aftermath, in which private investigator Balsam, Marin's lover, Sam Loomis, Gavin, and her sister Lila Miles investigate the cause of her disappearance. It won nominations for 4 Academy Awards, and including Best Supporting Actress Janet Leigh and Best Director for Hitchcock. It is now considered one of Hitchcock's best films, and it is arguably his most famous work besides the other movie that I have here to show you. But first, let's put the other movie. Do you know this song, this intro? By far one of the scariest movies. Chris.
Hello.
Chris Coffee. I'll put down the you listen to the music of The Exorcist movie. This is such, I had to choose here X-Files song so that I can mute, you know, the X-Files.
Yes, yes.
But why? Because, you know, to mute the sounds of the plane going by and everything. So, I'm going to introduce Chris Coffey, Dennis Christopher Coffey, one of the best podcasters I know.
Thank you.
He joined me on the other live chat. He's joining me today just until 6 p.m.,
That's
I guess.
That's correct. Yeah, that sounds good.
I want to know, but okay. So, Chris, The Exorcist is a 1973 American supernatural horror film directed by William Friedkin and written by William Peter Blatty, what a name, based on the 1971 novel of the same name by Blatty. So
I don't want to ruin your your introduction to that movie, but I remember as a kid seeing that, and I don't really want to date myself either, but I remember seeing that commercial as a kid and just about in tears. Anyway, go ahead.
But, you know, it is part of our childhood or adolescency. It depends on the age of the person who's listening. By the way, are you listening to me correctly? Well,
yeah,
because
I'm
still sharing the link because you have to be live to, you know, to share the link. So this is not very amusing. Well, I have to share the link, but okay. Some of the things that Podbean has to figure it out. But either way, Chris, you know, these movies, they have something in common, the movies from The Shining, Psycho, The Exorcist, and other movies that I will put next. What happens is they have something in common. I don't know if you agree. Perhaps the quality, how they were made, and the sound, you know, the soundtrack. You just listen to a beat, for instance, The X-Files or The Exorcist song, or even Twin Peaks, the TV show, and the sound of Jack Nicholson saying that everyone portrays till today, "Here's Johnny. Come on, come on, wherever
yes,
you are."
Exactly. You know.
You know these movies today.
And you even might get a chill from the...
Yeah. Like you were like 14 years old when you listened to him or for the first time. And you all of a sudden, you are not 40 years old and you are just like 12 years old and you are scared as shit. And
exactly.
You want to run to your mommy right now.
Exactly.
So these
all of those
songs,
creepy sounds, I mean, they're iconic the music itself.
So iconic. And it breaks my heart when I see some movies today, Halloween movies, horror movies. By the way, people getting into the chat, we are talking about the best movies of, and some the worst. eventually we are going to say what are the worst. I gather some of the worst movies of horror movies are the ones today. You know, done today, nowadays, like since 2000 and perhaps, I don't want to be unfair, but since 2010 till today,
okay.
I haven't have felt the urge, you know, to, oh, let me see what this is about. So I see the trailer, I see the idea, but no. They all seem to compete with the best that were already made. I think the best movies were already created.
You know, it's and sad I to kind say of this. Agree.
Yeah.
I agree to a point. And
it's
I
like
think
a competition.
That, you know, some of them, I'm not a big fan of the gory type where there's a lot of blood. Like the movies, like the Saw movies or some of
just
those.
Just like, it is so let's put some 100 images of a lot of blood and we got ourselves a horror movie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I watched
with no
a
content.
Little bit anyway.
Right.
But I'm still more into the supernatural.
It can be blood, of course. There are horror movies,
exactly.
But
yeah.
They have to have a story behind it. The Exorcist had a story that goes a bit with what happens in real life. There are real people who go through these process of seeing things, feeling things that are abnormal and that are strange.
Exactly.
With a vampire. Vampire doesn't exist.
And not even.
But this,
you know,
could
even
exist.
The special effects today are amazing. But back then, when you are living in that time era, you know, if you're watching it today, you're like, oh, that's not
it
as great. But
more
it
real,
was,
right?
It was. It was. It looked.
It
so
felt
real.
More real.
It did.
And we grow up with, I'm talking for myself, of course. I grew up going to church and, I knew from the old people that, oh my God, that person, she needs to see a priest because she's seeing things. In Portugal, there's a lot of mysticism with that.
I would like to explore that a little bit more one day, but I love all of that. I do.
Or you could do an episode when you come back. Why don't you?
Yes, I should. I should.
So,
yes.
So we can give some kind of a taste of what it may come from your show.
Well, and right. I did, yes, I did. I did a Halloween episode with my sister, which might need to be updated. There's a lot, it's dated quite a bit. There's some silly ideas in there, but we had a lot of fun. My sister is clairvoyant, I guess you would say, or something to that effect.
Yeah, and I truly respect that because I'm not completely oblivious of that reality.
Yeah, I feel
I came to a point that I saw one of few things really weird and scary.
Things that can't be explained.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Really sort of make your skin crawl and the hair stand straight up on your skin.
And just like a feeling.
Exactly. You can't place it, but it's there.
For instance, my mom used to say, I don't want you to dream about me, and because she always thought that I was like a pure soul. Mm-hmm. That could see something in people's faces.
Right.
And till today, I think from my experience, I'm 4 years old, of course, I cannot reach a purity, because when I was a child, I was more pure. But I try to keep living a life that gets close to purity some way, if you can understand
I do understand
and
that.
And I still see some things in people's faces. when I was a kid, I used to have my colleagues at school, and one day I came to I was talking to a girl at school, and I told her, "You are sick. You have to go to the doctor." Like yesterday, you know?
Yes.
And she told her mom. Her mom told my mom, "Your kid is telling my kid she has to go to the doctor. What the hell is that?" And my mom said, "She always gets it right. And maybe your daughter should go to the doctor because she really." My mom couldn't explain a lot, but you know, and I could see some things that I can't explain.
And but I completely
understand
that. And
what I saw on that girl's face is that she was very sick, and she couldn't understand that I was warning her, not threatening her of some sort. I wasn't. I was worried about her. And needless to say, like 2 months later, her mom came to my mom again, thanking my mom because I eventually saved her daughter. Because the doctor saw something really bad in the kid, in her daughter. And he didn't realize that it was a person that warned her. And because, anyway, I used to read a lot of books. You know, I used to read a lot of books of symptoms of, you know, because growing up, I had a lot of health problems regarding thyroid. And it came from my grandmother, so I had no choice.
A hereditary thing.
And that girl had the symptoms that I've been reading. So it could be like from that. But anyway, till today, I see a person on TV and I just say that person has days to live. Days.
Amazing.
And boom, the person that I can't explain, and it is for me is very weird and scary. But what I was going to tell you, just to finish to what I was saying and to listen to you, is like just to warn the listeners, so we are listening to the Blair Witch Project theme. Where is it? Here. So, just saying this, 1999, American supernatural horror film written, directed, and edited by Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez, The Blair Witch Project, is scary as hell. Because I saw this in the cinema with my cousin and, one of my best friends, Joanna.
Yes.
And you have no idea what she did to me. She gripped her nails into my forearm. I think it's forearm.
It is.
I had her nails on my arm the whole night watching the movie. And we were curious about Project Blair Witch. But damn, it is a film that will give you shivers for all your life, and you can't sleep for a month. I
really, you know, you have some people who felt like the movie could have been a little scarier, but those are the people who really wanted a little bit more gory. But
this one has content.
It's not just a scary movie.
It
really freaked me out because, well, I kind of believe that there are some witches or at least evil spirits, I guess you would say, that can really
and hurt you and do something.
Hurt and cause harm in some way. And it's, I don't know, it sort of freaks me out, but I'm still kind of interested to, like, you know, you always say to yourself during the movie, why aren't you running away? Why aren't you getting out of there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the curiosity.
Yeah, I mean, my mom, when we watch movies, we say, get out of there, you stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you waiting for? Oh, come on, she's so stupid.
And yet, I'm not sure that I would run out of there either. I would be watching. I would be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The next
like
door.
In trance or something like.
Exactly.
With no response. On the brain, brain response,
exactly.
Brain activity. And you know what I do till today? I grew up with three brothers, older brothers. I'm the only girl, the youngest.
Okay.
So explaining what I was saying, and it is something about this, by which just a tad, a bit, but... You know, I'm not a witch. I don't like those sort of things. But I don't say that they don't exist. But me, in my personal experience, I look at a person and I see good in them and I see evil.
You know, and, I think,
I really believe in this. It makes me sweat. It makes me sweat when I'm around a person that I genuinely know that she doesn't like me, and I know she doesn't like me, and I have to be near that person. I genuinely start sweating. You know?
Yeah.
When you're in society and you have to talk to people and everything, but when I know, I look at the person and I know she's bad. She's fake or she's being hypocrite.
You don't actually have to know anything. You just get this vibe from somebody.
You just feel it. Yeah,
it
vibe.
Just, sometimes it just happens. And it's not it's not really a judgment of their character. There's just an inner feeling that you get that gut feeling, you know. Sometimes it just happens. And I totally understand that. I get that, really.
And another thing that I wanted to tell you, two times this happened to me. It was the first time my grandmother had died, and she was like everything to me, besides my mom and dad and my brothers. But what happened is I was raised with my grandmother because my mom worked a lot, and I stayed a lot with my grandmother. And she taught me a lot of what I know today. The young woman that I am today, you know, she taught me how to be a really good woman and, you know, and, what happened is I ate something that was making me very sick. One night I was sleeping and my body was already in the process of dying. I had food poison.
That sounds serious.
But I didn't know. I didn't know that. I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And adolescent, pre-adolescent, a teenager, if you will. And my grandmother, I believe that happened to me because she was not on that plan that you see the light and you go to the other world, if you believe that. Because I started to believe that. I don't feel her today, but on that time, I still felt her presence. And what happens was the doctor in the hospital told my parents that I shouldn't have been able to wake up at all on that evening because I was already in the accelerated process of the body fading out,
amazing.
Like my
a real life and death situation.
Yeah. Like in what happened was, and this is real. Like my name is Sylvia. This is real. What happened was, is I was sleeping, and I felt my grandmother's hand in my forehead, telling me to wake up, that I needed to wake up. And I remember that I called her, oh my God, you're being a pain in the ass. Let me sleep, right?
Amazing.
And I felt her presence throughout the night. And I woke up very, very white. My face was like paper white.
Yeah.
I had like no blood in my eyes, and you know the thing,
yes,
where you pale, and you go see to the mirror your face and you don't see any blood
color
rushing,
yeah,
your veins.
Amazing.
And I was like cold and almost like fainting all the time, and someone would pick me up again and would say into my ears, I just remember this saying, and it was my grandmother saying, you have to wake up, you have to get up, you have to walk and crawl to your parents' room, call for help, but you have to do it. Come on, I know you can do it. And she was going, she was like pep talking, you know?
Yes.
Like, you can do it, you can do it, wake up. And I wasn't supposed to wake up, much less crawling or on the floor, because I was really weak. And the doctor said I should have died in that night with the food poison, because it was very serious and it was in an advanced phase already. Yeah. And he just doesn't get it. He's from science, but he said this is like a miracle to my parents, because she felt a presence of her grandmother waking her up from a trance. Like, yeah. And I crawled to the bedroom of my parents, like with the feeling of fainting all the time. And the person that I felt like grandmother was, my grandmother Rosa, and she was like picking me up. But nobody was there. But I felt that strong presence. And this can be scary because my followers don't know this story about me.
Yeah.
I think even my family don't know this story, only my parents and my husband. But what happened was I fell on the ground and I fainted. But my mom felt my noise on the ground. She turned off the light, and the rest is history. My father was like always slapping my face for me to wake up. They forced me to drink tea, a very yucky tea to drink.
Yeah.
But they rushed me to the hospital, and I didn't even have food to throw up. I was already in advanced phase.
Amazing.
Where it was like a liquid that you die from, that food poison.
You know, at this point, it feels like your grandmother was a guardian angel for you at that moment. That's amazing.
And I felt her like in the plan. When you say that, oh, the person died, but she's in our plan still.
Yes.
But she hasn't saw the light yet. I don't understand that theory, but I just know what I felt and what I lived, and she saved my life, and I thank her forever.
Absolutely.
And eternally. And what happened on another time was that I was working at a bus station, a gas station. And what happened was, I should have left home to do my shift, right?
Oh, okay.
To do my shift, and like 3 p.m. And what happened was, I was having lunch with my family. It was Sunday.
And I worked at Sundays and Saturdays and at a gas station. So I always went by through a small street to get to my job. I had to pass the street,
yes,
you know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and this has happened, like, it was already 2003 or 2002.
So this was your regular way that you would go to work through this one
yeah,
street?
Yeah, regular street. I would pass that street because another way I couldn't get to that street. And it was like from my house to the job, to the gas station, where I was a receptionist. And it was like 5 minutes, you know,
oh, okay.
Walking. Yeah, five minutes jogging, if you prefer. So
I'm not a jogger. I walk fast, but I don't go faster than that.
I walk fast, right. And my mom was finding it weird, and I was already with my uniform dressed. I had washed my teeth after my lunch with my family, everything. And something stopped me from going to my work. And I leaned to the wall, and I started watching TV. Like, leaned to the wall.
Yeah.
And in the living room. And my mom was telling to my father, this girl is not going to work today because the time is getting soon.
Yes.
Is, you know, it's almost 3 p.m. and she's here. Tell her something like the parents do, you know. They talk
right,
to each other
exactly.
About me when I'm in the room. And I
talk
said,
to your daughter.
I said, Mom, it's okay. I don't have to go now. No, but you do, because your shift is starting like in 2 minutes. And this is scary, Chris. This happened really in a way. And something inside of me told me, you don't go right now. You can't go right now. You just
amazing.
Can't
yeah.
go. You stick around your house, you watch TV, do something, but you don't go to work. At least not now. But my mom has a stubborn brain, like me as well.
like mother, like daughter, okay.
Yeah, she couldn't stop talking. And she tried to convince me every way to go to work because she wasn't understanding why I was to that. I just stood there quiet and I felt an urge inside of me, someone telling me that I should stick around in my home and not leave the house.
At least for that moment, right? You felt like there was something
yeah.
that needed to just... You didn't
yeah.
feel the urgency, and you actually felt like you needed to stay.
Yeah. Something
amazing.
told me right there and then that I couldn't leave my house and go to the job that I was supposed to do in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And my mom was worried even more.
You might be late.
I might lose my job
yeah,
if
definitely.
I get late. Yeah, if I arrive late to the job. So, the job started at 3 p.m. It was 3:05 p.m. I was already late 5 minutes. My mom was just bananas with me. No.
Yeah.
You have to go. You have to go to the job, and you have to go, and that's that. I'm your mom, and I'm telling you to go. So I went there, and I started walking the street, and Chris, you have no idea.
So what happened?
A car had driven to the other side and killed a man walking with his daughter, child, and the car went down the bridge, a little bridge that I went through every time I was going to my job.
Amazing.
I had to go through that particular road
and pass by the bridge. And on the minute that I used to go to my shift, to do my shift, on the exact second, a car came, and I wasn't on the street. It was another man on the street.
Amazing.
With his child.
Yeah.
And he got his car, the guy's car. That was crazy. I don't know what happened to the guy who was driving, but the car went like crazy on the street, and it went to the side where the people are walking, and I was supposed to be on that second walking on that street, but I wasn't. It was another person who was walking on the street.
You were
and
saved.
He got the car on his back, and he went to the air, and the child was like flying in the air also, but she's fine. She had scars and everything, but the dad, the father, died instantly.
Incredible.
Because he received that hit from the car from behind. And that's scary. And my mom knew from the news and everything. And she said, this girl has something going on with God or something. Because
blessed, right?
She's like, she knows something. And she just said to me, I can't go to work right now. Leave me alone. Something tells me I can't go. And I didn't go. I was late 5 minutes. But those 5 minutes late saved my life.
Incredible.
It saved my life.
That is awesome.
Literally.
That is an awesome story. I mean, seriously, I have chills. I'm thinking about how incredible that would be. I don't have that many. I don't have many
that
experiences
happened.
Like that.
Oh, the story of the bus. Do you know when I was
exactly.
hit by a car? The woman told me, "May God bless you."
Exactly.
For what's about to happen, and I was hit by a car. Eventually, in 2008.
It's like almost like that movie.
Thank God I didn't die.
Destination, but in the way that you survived. So that's fantastic. But
I don't know if this kind of things happen.
You're a pretty strong person, so that's why this is all kind of the way it's happened. But I want to tell you, I don't have a lot of time, but I want to tell you this. I know. I wanted to.
Sorry.
It's okay. This is. I love.
I will keep talking about the movies till I finish it off.
Exactly.
And,
do your
with
thing.
The thriller. And you can listen to the episode later.
Absolutely.
On silviadosantos.net slash podcast or on Podbean or whatever.
Let me tell you.
On the apps.
Oh, definitely.
You can listen to all the episodes.
That would be brilliant. But let me tell you.
When you log off.
Okay. have you ever heard of the name Richard Ramirez?
No.
Okay, so in the States.
Should I?
Not exactly, because it happened in the States. And I grew up.
Okay.
I grew up in California, and in Los Angeles, and in that area, in the coast of California, Richard Ramirez was a serial killer. And it's so funny that this music is playing right when I said that. Oh man! So I'm getting chills talking about it.
It's from The Exorcist. I chose a playlist.
It's all
the
good.
Halloween song. It's all good.
But it was right.
Don't get scared.
It was right around. It was right around this time. So it wasn't exactly Halloween, but it was really close. And there was a lot of trouble going on with this person. And he was a serial killer. And they were still looking for him. Everybody was supposed to be...
I don't want to interrupt
you,
but Chris, I watch. Me and my husband, sometimes we enjoy watching the crime investigation.
Yes, exactly.
Just to know what people... like how people are and what drives a killer.
It is
because
really,
I can't figure it out and I don't want to.
It makes no sense, you know, to us actually, but to them for some reason it just
makes no sense
complete...
because we are good people, Chris.
That's what it is.
Tell this now
We are good people. We can't kill a fly.
So it's like two or three o'clock in the morning, and me and my friend are driving down the street going home from a party. And we stop at a stoplight. We look over to the right, and there's a car, and we see him, or we see someone who looks like him. We are not sure. Mm. We just freaked out.
But you don't want to be sure.
We didn't want to be sure. We just...
Yeah, you didn't want to stick around to be sure.
My friend ran the red light, and we left. We left, and the guy just sort of smiled as we left. And that's my creepy story. That's the whole thing right there. It's just
I understand what you're saying. Like, me and my husband watch crime investigation. And these are real killers.
Exactly.
And he's a reporter, and he has his own agenda for watching this type of shows.
Oh, okay, amazing.
Because he wants to understand the mind behind a serial killer, and I'm
really impressed with that.
I just enjoy watching because I want to understand like the psychological area of the these guys' brain,
the psych,
how
of
it works.
Why and how or what brings that out
that doesn't make you a killer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what is it that makes you want that? I don't understand, but I...
And like, at night, I just don't sleep on that night, so...
Yeah, I'll bet.
We decided to watch those things in the morning, and after that, we watch a funny movie. Just to, you know, relax our brain, our mind.
I completely understand that.
There's something interesting in the psychological. For instance, I'm with Freddy Krueger looking at me with his nails. I was going to talk about him, but let me go here to talk about the Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. That was a fantastic movie.
You know, because let me see if I got the song here from the. I don't think I have.
So intense.
But it's like Silence of the Lambs is a 1991 American psychological horror film, directed by Jonathan Demme and written by Ted Talley, adapted from Thomas Harris. 1988 novel. It stars Jodie Foster. It's like, wow. Jodie Foster is amazing. As Clarice Starling, a young FBI trainee who is hunting a serial killer. And Hannibal Lecter, portrayed by Anthony Hopkins. Come on.
Yeah.
And he's a psychiatrist. He's a brilliant psychiatrist. And but he's also a cannibalistic serial killer. Those two together. So he finds his victims in his clients and something like that. And he skins his female victims. Oh, my God. It reminds me a bit from the movie Perfume. And I saw that movie with my mom twice. It was airing on TV. Not cinema or else. No, we were on our couch and we saw The Perfume, like based in France. I'm not familiar with it, but. Let me see if it's here, The Perfume. So he does perfume with the skin of the victims. He puts them in a like a liquid thing. He really loves the victims. And he finds them the most beautiful thing. And he wants to make a perfume with their smell. But they have to be dead for that. So he kills them. He takes off their skin. And it puts in like chemistry, like those lessons of chemistry that you put the liquid and, And he does that. And he created a perfume with the smell of the victims. And my mom
so grossed out
just
right
said,
now.
yeah, but it's like a little bit from The Silence of the Lambs. But it's a good movie. It's a great movie. It has...
I do like watching these types.
A good cast.
Yeah.
And you have to Google it. It is quite brilliant and is really well made. I'm seeing here the, you know, The Exorcist I already talked about, but I'm seeing here Black Swan, yeah, I didn't see it, but Jaws, come on.
Exactly.
And Sixth Sense. I'm going to tell you something about that. Before you go,
okay.
I know you have to go. And I was in the movies, and some colleague of ours, of our group, told us, if you know I was going to end the movie, that like the character Bruce Willis was really dead since the beginning.
Yeah.
And our colleague told us, I'm going to buy you an ice cream to the person who guesses in the, you know, the between the movie, the beginning and the end.
Yes.
If the person in the group, in our group, tells, oh, I know, this guy is dead. The Bruce Willis is, character is dead. I want the ice cream. Because, you know, I already knew he was dead since the beginning.
Yes.
Because you know why?
Tell me.
I just don't know. I don't know. Back then, I didn't even know how to explain. But I knew from a few, how do you say, from some things that
just
he
some
did.
Hints, some
and the kids,
that...
yeah, some hints. And one of the biggest hints is that he was always cold around him. He's like breathing ice.
Yes.
And I thought, nobody sees him, only the kid. So this guy is dead. Because no one talks about him in the script and in the beginning of the movie. And so I got up in the middle of the screening, and I told, oh, give me my ice cream because this guy is dead. And he said, oh, you watched the movie before. No, I didn't. I couldn't explain. And I said,
just give me the ice cream.
It just gives some hints. Yeah, the prize for winning because I won. Because I knew that it was so strange. Nobody saw the character Bruce Willis. Only the kid was amazing, and he was nominated, I guess, for an award. And I saw the kid always breathing ice, like.
Yeah. Do you remember the catchphrase for that movie?
No.
I see dead people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I never clued in. It wasn't until the end I was just totally shocked. And I love...
Oh, you didn't want
it. I didn't want it.
You didn't
win
the ice cream.
I love
the
ice
prize.
Cream, too. But no, I didn't know. I didn't know. I just...
But you know what? I didn't eat the ice cream because he thought I had seen the movie before.
Oh, man.
So, go figure.
Hey.
I think he didn't want to buy me the
Pay
ice cream
the price.
In the first place. Yeah, I think. So... Oh, you know, I was watching The Birds from Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes.
And I didn't know it was a horror movie, so I stuck to the end. I stuck to the end.
Yeah.
And I was watching the movie thinking, oh my God, I love birds so much. And in the end, I thought, maybe I don't like birds so much. Right
yeah,
now.
Exactly.
Maybe. This is weird.
It really, just
eating her brain.
It freaks you out because
it's so bad. And the others from Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, that was
movie,
a great movie.
I was watching without knowing it was a horror movie again. So I'm naive like that.
But I was too. I didn't have a clue. And
really?
Yeah, and it wasn't. I don't know.
And we get scared.
I like the weirdness of the movies. Really. I like, you know, who was the director of that? Did you see that?
The others, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to put the song of the birds. No, the birds. No, the others is playing right now. Sooner or later, they will find you. Nicole Kidman, The Others. The Others is a 2001 English language film, gothic, supernatural, psychological horror film written, directed, and scored by Alejandro Amenábar. It stars Nicole Kidman,
amazing,
Fionnuala Flanagan, Christopher Eccleston, and Elaine Cassidy, Eric Sykes, Alakina Mann, and James Bentley. So it,
you know,
was released in August 2001. Dimension Films. It won a Goya Award and Best Film, Best Director.
A Goya Award.
Oh, okay.
That's amazing.
And yeah, and BAFTA and Golden Globe and Best Horror Film for.
So if I remember correctly, it was the viewpoint of the of them who are the ghosts, and they that you think that it's the real the people who are alive who are the ghosts, but it turns out that they
you confuse yourself at a point.
I loved that movie. It was very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It got stuck on my mind, on my brain. Let me see. Are you listening to
them?
Yes.
What do you want?
Nicole Kidman. And another. I always compare a bit Michael Myers with Freddy Krueger. Shit, these two, when you see a wall with a shadow and you see those nails coming up, you know you ain't gonna survive.
I just remember
that's Freddy Krueger for you.
I saw the second one in the movies. I saw the first one on VHS.
And
the, gosh, I hate saying that word.
You know the I love that actress that did Halloween Kills with Michael Myers.
Oh, yeah.
Is a fictional character from the Halloween series and slasher films by John Carpenter.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
Wow. Jamie Lee Curtis. And she is, and you are listening to her right now, Halloween Kills with Jamie Lee Curtis. And she has to confront him now and kill him. So he is dying with a fire, and the fire department went to save him.
My gosh.
And she was yelling and screaming, don't save him, let him die in the fire.
My gosh.
Because he's a killer. He's a heartless killer. So you almost feel like... But there is a funny story with this, the Michael Myers mask. Apparently, it is none other than William Shatner's face.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
My God, really? It's all over internet. You didn't find it funny. You didn't like it because he said people get scared of him now. And you know what? I watch a movie like Star Wars or something. I don't remember well. It is the beginning of the beginning. William Shatner, really young and really sexy and like tall, but he's really... He's not tall anymore,
yeah.
I guess. You know?
Yeah, the Star Trek movies. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the age shrunk.
Yes.
William Shatner, because he was big, he was tall and strong and very beautiful,
right.
A very handsome man. He was. I didn't know
that.
Well,
if you actually combed the hair of the mask and put it on so it fits to your face, it might actually look like
him. Oh my God, I'm looking at him. So, just saying, who's...
Freddy Krueger is a Nightmare on Elm Street series. Let me see if I got the song here. Of the, yeah, A Nightmare in Elm Street, on Elm Street. Freddy Krueger, are you listening?
Yes.
This is the theme to Freddy Krueger.
I really remember that.
So, Chris, these are the movies that we should have not watched as a kid, but I'm so glad we did.
Me too.
Because
I snuck into the theater to see that one.
Yeah, nowadays, and I still do something that I did when I was a kid. I put my hands on my face, and I open the fingers to see it. I don't want to see it, but I do want to
see
it. You know, it's stupid. But we try to protect with the hands on my face, but we watch anyway. And yeah, this is Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers mask, and you know, but there's one more, Arachnophobia. It's a 1990 American comedy horror, and when I see comedy with Frank Marshall, directed by Frank Marshall and starring Jeff Daniels, that I love, and John Goodman, but come on, comedy horror movie?
I know this.
I have arachnophobia. I hate spiders. I really hate spiders. And I'm scared, like, from the teeny tiny spider. Imagine the big ones. Can you imagine? I don't know. I crawl on the walls. But that movie, I watched with my brothers. I didn't know what I was watching, and my mom told them on them, like, you don't put your sister or your little sister watching that because she's scared of that.
Yeah.
But I watched it, everything, and aliens, you know, those thingies.
Oh, yeah.
Crawling out from the belly of the, you know, that character. Oh, my God. I watched them all. And these are the best ones. And I think these are the best ones. The clowns.
I hate clowns.
The killer clowns, yeah, or something. And just listen to these quotes. These are so, my God, so scary. And I'm going to end, if you don't mind waiting, I'm going to end the show with the Michael Jackson Thriller.
Definitely.
With that laugh of ha ha ha.
I can do it a little bit. I can try anyway.
So I'm just putting the most iconic, the quote.
I'm your number one fan.
She just goes, a little mad sometimes. We all go a little mad sometimes.
They don't make movies like in the 80s, 70s, 90s. They don't. There's something missing.
You want to know what happens to an eyeball when it gets punctured?
Oh, my God.
You got any idea how much blood jets out of a guy's neck?
Oh, my God.
Yes,
I am. What he said.
Have you checked?
Have you checked the children? Oh, my God. Just listen to this.
Oh, my God.
Before you go. Try to figure it out. Which scene is this?
Okay.
I'm going to put loud. Shower. Water dropping.
Oh, man. You know.
This beautiful woman taking a shower.
Still today, you do that
sound to scare something. Scare
Definitely.
Someone.
And Anthony Perkins, such a creepy guy just in that movie.
Yeah.
And to see him at the end dressed as his mother.
Coming. Oh, my God. But they were so... The plot, the cast, the production.
The whole idea.
You know? Psycho.
Who writes that kind of stuff? Ah, man, I just love it.
The best offer Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. On a most serious note, and talk about serious, The Night Falls with Alfred Hitchcock is about, it's about Auschwitz and its reality. And it's the most scariest reality you can see on a movie. It is Alfred Hitchcock, The Night Falls, or in Portuguese, A Noite Cai.
I have never seen it. But it is the most. Now I have to see it.
It is only about Auschwitz.
Yeah.
You know, the killing in Auschwitz by, you know, that sordid mind, it is a brilliant mind, but he lived to do the worst he can do with his mind.
Man.
So he didn't use his brilliant mind to do good.
Yes.
He used his brilliant mind to do to kill.
Yeah, right? Incredible. And you know, there's yeah. so many movies, and I was thinking about before we started talking today. I kind of have to go, but I think that I wanted to mention.
And I'm already putting the music right now.
I was
my favorite thriller.
It is. It's brilliant.
Michael Jackson.
This is one of the best.
Amazing album, Thriller.
This is one of the best
Michael
songs
Jackson,
ever.
82.
Actually,
Epic Records, Quincy Jones. Amazing.
One of the movies I saw was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and it was so creepy to watch.
The one thing
that is on Netflix now is Nurse Ratched, and she was the nurse in the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And she has this horrible way of
with Jack Nicholson,
and she was horrible to the patients. And it's her gaining employment at the place that he ends up going to. And I haven't seen all of it yet. I just started, so I need to finish watching it. But I am so into it. It's very cool. Very cool.
Oh yeah, and there's that. Because there are movies we watch as a kid, and we didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, at least it doesn't feel that we watched the whole thing. I'm not certain I want to watch it, knowing that I'm gonna watch it, because it's a difference when you are a kid and you're watching with your brothers and your brother's friends and your family, and you eating popcorn, but you can't eat popcorn, but
exactly.
You know, you're safe and you're a kid. But when you are a grown-up, you just don't sleep.
Yeah.
You are
there's
thinking,
no one to coddle you.
You have to think the whole movie, like, it's a movie, Sylvia. It's a
there's
movie.
No one to hug you and
don't
tell you everything
it.
Is going to be okay when you're an adult watching those movies.
Yeah. Yeah, they have, you know...
We didn't talk about Annabelle,
she's... What do you Carrie?
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
In everything... Arachnophobia, it doesn't even show up in the list. I had to
search for it.
Yeah. Him up on the Wikipedia. Because, you know, these are the best.
They are.
These ones that these guys do today don't live up to the Jack Nicholsons, to the Johnny Depps, to you know, to Tom Cruise with the vampire and everything. It was magic. Cinema was...
I do love the movies. I really do. I love them all.
And we don't have an Alfred Hitchcock anymore.
No. I feel like there's many who try to reach that level, but I think that it's very difficult to get there.
Yeah.
I remember the movie Lost Boys.
Yeah.
The vampire movie with Lost Boys. Great movie. A lot of kind of comedic at the same time too. I like dark comedies like that.
Yeah. Oh, you have to watch a new TV show that I'm watching. It is dark comedy on Apple TV, but you search online, try to figure it out how you can watch it. It is with Rose Byrne, but it's so good. You're gonna love it.
Huh.
you're going to love it. It's called Physical. I shared a post on my Instagram. Scroll a bit on my Instagram and you'll... Oh, but I deleted it. I deleted
it's okay.
it. Sorry. But it doesn't matter. It's Physical. It's called Physical.
Okay.
And it goes through some profound things on a woman's mind. And, but, you know, you're gonna... You see an episode, you want to see the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And you'll love every second. And it goes... It is weird. It is a weird thing to see. But it is so good. It is so well written. And it was picked up for a second season. So I'm waiting for 2022 to watch.
That's fantastic.
The second
season. I like
season.
When I can just... binge watch a show. Yeah, that'll be fantastic.
There are not a lot of things that I really enjoy to watch, you know, because I don't have a lot of time, so I choose very well. And I come, and you come also, from a generation that we got used to see movies with Alfred Hitchcock and everything.
Exactly.
So we are very critic.
We are.
I think we are demanding, quite demanding, I may add. And thank God for that. We are demanding.
Because we
just don't watch anything. Yeah, and normally I see the pilot, and I see an episode, at least. And what happens is, for me, it has to, and I know you have to go, Chris,
okay.
Coffee, everyone.
We're almost at the
laugh.
I
just want to tell you.
He's so close.
Yeah, we are listening to Michael Jackson. Oh.
That is the absolute best.
I love it. Sorry, but
I love
this.
I really do.
I don't know. It's like Michael Jackson is amazing. Chris, I cannot do an episode on Michael Jackson just yet because I start crying every time.
Aww.
And I just can't.
But when you do, let me know and I would like to do it.
I just love him so much that I cannot listen to a song and talk about him knowing he died and I think he wasn't, he didn't know how much love he had from his fans. I think he had a clue, but he wasn't understood. And I just want to say I understand him. I understood very well everything about him. And I had the dream that I could tell him someday, you know, meet him and tell him, like,
understand completely,
listen, I understand you. And when I was watching TV, I was watching Sky News, and I remember I had to, you know, I had to change the channel to CNN just to be sure they were talking about my Michael Jackson. And I literally started crying in front of my husband, who back then was my boyfriend. And it's like he's one of my family members.
Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't explain. And since then, all the songs have some kind of...
that iconic sound too.
So the sound went away, and it came to Jack Nicholson again.
Oh,
he's coming after us. We have to get first coffee. Daddy's
Christopher thank you.
Coffee. But I had a lot of fun. I didn't expect to tell you some private stories about me, but you are so easy to talk to.
Thank you. It's been a blast.
And I know I have, like,
thousands of listeners listening to this after the show, because while I'm doing the show, I didn't send the link to a lot of people. So a few came in, but I didn't talk to them. So because I'm talking to you, of course. And but, you know, it's almost Halloween.
Exactly.
And we all share a story or two that we can't figure it out so well. And you know, we were talking about movies, right?
Movies that put the hair on your skin stand straight up.
They are based on reality. And some of them are based on reality, right? But with a bit of fiction. So some people are entering the chat, but we are leaving, sadly, me and Chris Coffey, me as Sylvia Dos Santos, your podcast host, and my co-host is Chris Coffey, who I'm waiting for your new episodes.
I need to get started.
One of
I
these
do.
Days. Yeah, you need. You should, and you have to.
Oh, well, thank you.
And
I do like this time of year. This is my favorite time. It's actually when I started my podcast last year, and I think it was a lot of fun. But I need to do it again, and you make me excited to start over.
Yes. So it is. I have a lot of fun talking to you every
Thank
time.
You. Same.
So And it said we have to go, but, you know, horror movies from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, pick the right ones, people. We like to see good, good horror movies, not just blood going to the air or something, but you need to do, if you are a director, go study something about how Alfred Hitchcock or John Carpenter, you know, these great directors did their movies, their characters that are still alive today in our minds with the noises, the sounds. We just know what it is instantly because they were really good. These sounds we're listening right now in this second. It's you know which movie it is, and the movies today, they haven't got that. So don't do a lot, do less, but better quality.
I completely agree.
My motto is less is more.
Yes.
You know, not so many movies, but less movies, but good ones, okay? Okay, so, Chris. It was nice talking to you again. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
And as I was saying, you have your stories. Your sister has her stories. I have my own. I don't know if any of the stories we told is relatable to anyone listening, but I hope so, or not.
I hope it was enjoyable for everyone,
It wasn't, and I picked some of the songs of the
Loved
best ones,
the song
the best
list.
Movies.
I really did. So many memories.
Yeah, and I hope we didn't scare anybody, and Michael Jackson. We had to put Michael Jackson, Thriller. And happy Halloween, everybody who's listening and will be listening because the episode will be available on the apps Podbean, Apple TV, Apple iTunes, Spotify, you know, whatever.
Fantastic. I'm going to share it.
My podcast is out there. And, you know, there are some things we can't explain out there. And we have to keep an open mind and respect. And there are crazy things out there. There are crazy people out there. And respect them anyway. and what I was going to say, because I didn't know you have to go. This is Halloween live streaming show. I hope you all have fun.
had fun with me and Chris Coffey. With me, Sylvia DeSantis, and Chris Coffey. And
thank you. It's always so much fun
do
to,
good,
to join
people.
You.
Leave the horror to the movies and always do good, do charity, help others, and be good, be healthy, but do good to others. That's the main thing. Have a good heart and keep your child at heart, you know, alive. I keep my, you know, my child spirits alive. That's why I love cinema so much. It's a fantasy yes. world. And I'm a kid. I'm a kid. At heart, I'm still a kid. A 40-year-old
yeah,
kid.
I completely agree.
I
feel the same way.
You know? Yeah. So,
it was. Thank you so much for inviting me. I really
yeah.
appreciate it.
Thank you. And I'm going to let the song playing, Michael Jackson Thriller, again. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And I'm forgetting something that I don't remember, so you have to go. And
I wish I could stay.
Bye-bye. This is Julio Dos Santos, Art and Heart Podcast, with Chris Coffey as the co-host, and talking about Halloween movies, you guys, the best and the worst. Go watch the best, please. Listen to the list I told you about today, and have fun. And no, it is only a movie, you guys. Don't get scared.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
Chris. It was fun. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You start to freeze. taste of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. I'm gonna bring it to you. Stenches in the air, the funk of 40,000 years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mortal can resist the evil of the thriller. Ha 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 ha